Hello and welcome to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Roberts, and today's show is brought to you by No Halftime. No Halftime is an easy-to-use app that allows you to play in player versus player daily fantasy sports challenges. And if you use the promo code BBALL100, that's BBALL100, you can earn up to a $100 deposit bonus. And with that, we're off. Daniel Green, welcome to the weekly Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast show, if that's confusing enough for you. Today we're going to be talking about not daily fantasy basketball. We're going to be talking about season long. We're going to review the week ahead, look at some schedule things. We're going to be talking about players that have had surprising performances so far this year. Before we jump into that, though, Dan, how are you doing today?
I'm very angry. I played and by the way, there's only four games tomorrow, so it's a light slate. So if you're playing DFS, I wouldn't go too heavy, although there's some nice games. But just for today, we're taping this, what, on Sunday night? It's around 10:50 Eastern. I had beautiful lineups tonight, Mark. Beautiful. I thought I was going to make hundreds.
The best lineups?
Yeah, the best lineups. I thought I was going to make hundreds at least. But I had a lot of Steph Curry, a lot of James Harden, and both those guys let me down big time. As I was telling you, Steph Curry put up a lot of points, actual points, but nothing else. And James Harden is just an idiot. He was trying to go one-on-one with Wes Matthews pretty much the entire game, and especially the second half. I mean, Wes shut him down, so it was not – those two guys, you know, crushed my hopes and dreams.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's all right. No, I mean, I feel bad for my dogs. I mean, that was going to be lots of dog toys I was going to buy with the winnings. So.
I thought you were going to say dog food, like
food toys. Yeah,
that's my dog food budget.
It's going to be food. Dog food, toys, and apparel. Because now it's winter. I got to dress them in like hoodies and stuff.
So no food this week. Sorry, dog.
It's going to be a rough.
That's
week.
The way it goes.
A rough week. No pun intended. Anyway, how's it feel to be back on the pod? A whole week, man, without you on the pod.
I know. I've been it's been very sad. I fell into some depression, but here we are. I'm back, and we're going to talk about season long, which I know that some of our listeners have been anxious for.
Feedback has been very harsh. We've been lots of angry people because we've not been talking about season long. So alas,
yeah, so let's just do a little. Let's talk about that for a second because so the idea is that we are going to do daily shows. So everybody who was disappointed last year when we didn't do daily shows, rest assured, we're going to do daily shows this week. Thanks to Daniel and Kyle and Tyler and maybe a little bit with myself. But Daniel, as you know, the downside with the daily show is if you're focusing only on season long leagues, it can be sort of repetitive, I guess, is probably the best word. Yeah. You end up talking about some of the similar injuries. You talk about some similar guys to pick up, some similar teams, you know, as you look at like rotations that aren't quite figured out. And it seemed like last year, for example, we talked a lot about the Phoenix Suns, like who are they going to play? We don't know. And so it's hard to keep that content fresh. So what we're trying this year is to have a daily show about DFS that should also be pretty applicable to season long leagues. You know, you're still focusing a lot on who the injured players are, who's going to be sitting out, who should step up, who should play well. But with the focus on DFS, it should be a little fresher, the content that we show, that we provide. And then once a week, we're still going to be talking about daily or about season long leagues and helping you set your lineups, helping you get ready for the week, and also talking about some surprising performances that we're seeing. So,
I'll say this though, Mark. I mean, we can do a better job during the week of kind of making a point to say, you know, even if someone's a good play in DFS, you know, you should also you know, stream this guy for this week, or he'd be a good play this week, or at least for the next couple of days. So, I mean, as the season goes on, we'll try to do a better job of just incorporating some of that season long, you know, into our DFS podcast. Cause I mean, a lot of times, you know, that they do go hand in hand.
Absolutely. It's still just basketball, right?
Absolutely.
And that's what we're all here for. So let's go ahead and get started then, Dan. Let's take a look at the schedule for week two. Hopefully you all won your week one matchups. or at least the majority of those. And let's get you started off with week two. Now, the first thing everyone should know about week two is the Sacramento Kings play five games in week two. So if you do play in a weekly lineup league or a weekly lock league where you can just set your lineup once a week, you're going to want to target Sacramento Kings players. So obviously Rudy Gay, DeMarcus Cousins are going to be in your lineup. They'll probably be in your lineup regardless, but even some marginal players, Ty Lawson, Matt Barnes, you know, it certainly be dependent on the league that you're in and the categories that you need, but you're going to want to lean towards having some Kings in your lineup, even if they're going to score, you know, get marginal stats in five games time. They should be pretty productive this season or this week. And on the flip side, we've got the Charlotte Hornets and Miami Heat, who have only two games this week. So outside of Hassan Whiteside and maybe Kemba Walker, you're probably sitting your Heat and your Hornets in weekly lineup lock leagues. Agree, disagree, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, I was just trying to think from Miami, like, would draw. I mean, Dragic finally had a good game tonight against San Antonio. He had 25 points, 5 assists. He did not look that good in the first.
I'd rather play Ty Lawson than in a week, you know, well, five games of Ty Lawson than Dragic.
Five games of Ty Lawson, that's not even close. I mean, Ty Lawson right now with the minutes he's getting, he's locked in like the mid to high 30s. Yesterday, I'm not even going to count that when he had a bad performance. I'm speaking just in general.
Right.
I want to play Dragic with two games, and he might be the only other guy I would somewhat consider. But yeah, if you didn't want to play him, maybe you have better options, I would understand. But Ty Lawson, yeah, he's, you know, until they get, what's his name back?
Collison.
Yeah, Ty Lawson's a must play.
Okay, and a few just notes for you daily moves folks. The only team that has a back-to-back on Monday, Tuesday, so if you're looking to pick, you know, you have a limited pickups and you want to try to pick somebody up on a back-to-back, is the Sacramento Kings. So Monday, Tuesday, they have a back-to-back with Atlanta and Miami. So again, you know, Ty Lawson or Matt Barnes or, you know, even a few other guys, like if you're Aaron Aflalo, if you're looking for three-pointers, Kosta Kufis, if you're looking for rebounds, basically to go check out the Kings lineup and see what stats you need and see if you can make a pickup there. And as far as back-to-backs on the weekend, we have, I believe there are three back-to-back teams. There's the Milwaukee Bucks. There's the Sacramento Kings again and the Denver Nuggets. So just as you're moving throughout the week, don't forget about those. Oftentimes as you go into the weekend and you're looking to take the lead in a category or two, it's helpful to pick up a guy who has a game both Saturday and Sunday. Dan, anything else we ought to make sure everybody knows about the schedule for week two?
No. I mean, quite honestly, I didn't look a lot at the schedule. I thought you were going to do a much better job and send me some stuff before the show. So, I think what you said is fine. I would just say,
that was quite a diss.
Well, no, I thought you were gonna send me a nice little sheet, like, you know, like a show sheet before the pod, and it would have all this beautiful info for us to look at, and then I could take credit for some great tips.
Mm. We should mention that the reason I didn't have a show sheet is actually because if you go to hashtagbasketball.com, they have an advanced schedule grid which pretty much lays out the schedule. Anything that you need, it's sortable. You can click on the week you need, has a number of games and the day each game is played for every team in the league. That's a great resource if you're trying to quickly analyze the schedule. And that's what I use. So check that out. All right, Dan, I think that's what we need to know about the schedule here. I want to get into some players that have had either players that were drafted high preseason or during people's fantasy drafts that have struggled in the first couple of games, or players who were drafted low who have had really good first couple of games. And I want you to tell me if what we've seen is real or whether it's fake or if it's somewhere in between. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's start off with one of my favorites, Karl Anthony Towns. In – Just lost the stats. Okay. So last season, he averaged 18 points, 10 rebounds, 1.7 blocks, shot 54% from the field, 81% from the free throw line. Was about the 16th best player on a per game basis. He was drafted basically inside the top five, top six. But so far in only two games, he's played 37 minutes, which has been great. And he's put up the same 18 minutes per game or 18 points per game. And he's actually made about 1.5 3-pointers. So he's done good there. And he's got a few more assists than he did last year. So those are all good things. However, he's only averaging 5 rebounds and 1 block per game. He's shooting below 50%. All those things seem a little bit correlated to me. The high 3-pointers, the low rebounds, the lower field goal percentage. Is this something I should be worried about, or is this real, or is this fake?
Yeah, I'm not worried at all about Towns. Okay. I mean, one thing you can consider, which may impact his rebounding, is Gorgui Dieng is a really good rebounder and defender. So he's going to snag some of Towns' rebounds just naturally. I know they played Sacramento. That also, I think, played into the why the numbers are low. They only had two games, and one was against Sacramento, right? So he's matched up against DeMarcus Cousins, which is
Sacramento and Memphis.
Yeah, two of the tougher matchups he's going to have in the league. So I think that played a role in his numbers more than anything else. I will say this: I also think Thibodeau is trying to figure out what to do with that team. Andrew Wiggins got hot, so he took a lot of shots against Sacramento. That also was one reason why Towns didn't get a lot of touches, but even though he should have down the stretch. So I expect all that to get worked out as the season goes on. Thibodeau's too good of a coach not to utilize Towns, so I'm not too worried.
Well, so let me ask you a couple of specifics though, because like I said, the scoring I'm not worried about, especially if he's going to take some 3-pointers. But we've seen this before with guys who, when they start taking 3-pointers, their rebounding decreases. They stand outside the 3-point line, and then again with Dieng, he's going to get some rebounds, and then that with playing with Dieng, that might push him out, and he might not block so many shots. So do you have any concern there with the blocks and rebounds categories?
I would be concerned a little bit with the rebounds, I guess. Also, I mean, if Minnesota wants, I mean, they can always put Dieng on who's ever playing center, and have Towns guard the four man any given night as well. Because they're basically playing two centers. So the rebounds, he could take a small hit, and lose 1 to 2 rebounds a game. But I'm not going to panic, and I still think he's going to make up for that with all the other stuff he's going to do on the court.
I agree. Really encouraged by the minutes. Like I said, he's playing over 36 minutes in both games. That's no surprise for a Tibbs player.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest surprise for me from Minnesota has been the minutes of Zach LaVine. I mean, Rubio, 28 minutes last game, and LaVine, 36 minutes.
And part of that was Rubio left the game early with a shoulder injury. So he left in the fourth quarter. So that could have played into a little bit. But, no, I mean, Tibbs plays his guys big minutes.
Yeah, but
I'm also surprised by Towns' assists. He has 4 assists and 5 assists. So 9 assists in 2 games. But it wasn't like one fluke game and then he had 1 assist the other game. Like, he's had pretty solid production in both places. So I think there's reasons to be optimistic. But, he wasn't especially – you weren't thrilled with him the first game.
Yeah, chalk it up to tough matchups, I would say, more than anything.
Yeah, no, that's a good call out, actually. All right, let's talk about Kyle Lowry, who was Carl Anthony Towns had some ups and downs. Kyle Lowry mostly just had downs. Now, again, it wasn't a minutes thing. Like, a lot of the players that you see were disappointing in the first week. He's played only 2 games. He's played 38.5 minutes per game, so he's playing plenty of minutes, but he's only averaging 13 points. He's shooting 20. Let me pull this up, make sure I have it right. He is shooting 27% from the field. He's averaging 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 0.5 steals per game. You concerned?
No, I'm not concerned. I mean, I'd be concerned if he was fat Kyle Lowry again, like if you put in all that weight in the offseason, which I don't think he did. Now, it wasn't surprising because Kyrie Irving is not a good defender, and they played Cleveland last game. I thought he'd be able to have a better game against Kyrie. So that was a little disappointing. But DeRozan was on fire last game. One thing I do like about Toronto is Jonas Valanciunas started the season strong with two really good games.
Yeah.
First game he played like 36 minutes, which for you know, in a Dwayne Casey rotation, that's like a minor miracle. But I mean, Kyle Lowry should be fine. I mean, I'd say I'm worried maybe like 5% only because in the playoffs he was so up and down and it was just painful. He would have some of the worst games I've ever seen any player have in the history of basketball. So, I mean, unless like there's some hangover from that, I wouldn't be too concerned. He's just too good of a player. Plus, he's just going to have the ball in his hands too much. And Toronto needs him. I mean, they need him. He does everything for that team. So, yeah. I'm not – another guy I'm not overly concerned of.
Yeah, I'm a little bit concerned because of the playoff performance. Like you said, in the playoffs. He played so poorly. And now it's the shooting again. Like, he's shooting – he's shooting in the first game. He shot 23% less, and that was against Detroit. So he's playing against Ish Smith, and in game two he's playing against Kyrie Irving. He's shooting 31%.
But I think they had KCP on him for part of that game. If I remember correctly, he was a good defender. I mean, I'll say this though. I mean, even if that's true, you know, and he does have some lingering effects from that weird postseason, dude. You have to remember, like. When they really needed him against Miami in like game seven and like I think it was game four, game five, he still had monster games. So mm-hmm. he'd be playing some of the worst basketball ever, and then the next game he would play tremendous. So I think he's going to come out of this. He's just too good of a player.
And on the plus side, so to take the other side of this, his rebounds and his assists are about where you expect him. He's still getting six assists. He's got 12 assists in the two games. So averaging six assists per game. He's rebounding just fine. Basically, if he was shooting 43% instead of 27%, I probably wouldn't have brought him up. So,
The funny part is, like, the first two players you mentioned, Towns and Lowry, might be, like, the two only players in the NBA I haven't played in DFS this year. Like, they've just been too expensive in DFS, so I haven't played them.
Well, I'll be really interested to hear if you've played this next guy, because – He does worry me for a different reason, and that's Brooke Lopez. So
I played not Brooke Lopez either.
So far last year he played 34 minutes a game. He averaged 20.5 points, 8 rebounds, and 1.7 blocks on 51% shooting. This year he's playing 23.6 minutes per game, which I think is the most concerning stat. 16 points, 5 rebounds, and he hasn't blocked a shot yet. He's shooting 44% from the field. And he sat out a game for rest. So just to break that into games, the first opening night, he played 21 minutes, had 7 points, 5 rebounds. Then the next game against Indiana, he played 26 minutes, had 25 points, and 5 rebounds. So it may have been, as far as the production, it may have been just one bad game. But he's yet to play 26 minutes in a game, and he's already sat out for rest. So does that concern you at all?
Yeah, I'm concerned about this whole Brooklyn roster, this D-League squad. I broke into a remote control watching a game. I threw it at the TV. I wanted to hit Kenny Atkinson in the face.
But that's why it's so weird that
it makes me angry.
Brooke Lopez is a legitimate NBA player, and he's not getting minutes?
So I forgot what day me and Kyle did a podcast. I think it was on Thursday, Friday. All the days come seem together. Maybe it was Saturday. There was an article in some paper that was talking about Brooklyn, and it was like it didn't make any sense. But it basically mentioned that every Brooklyn Nets player is on like a minute restriction, so they can monitor their health and their well-being for the 82-game season. And in particular, it mentioned Brooke Lopez and that they're going to be super cautious and careful with him, especially in the early going before they get his minutes, even close to like approaching the 30 minutes. So it was like very surreal. Like, I'm not sure, like, did the whole team come like out of shape? It's the only coach who's made a statement like that.
General mindset or approach by the team rather than any concerns about every single player,
Right. And I mean, maybe he's just trying to spin it in a way so he can play everyone because he knows they suck and he just wants to get everyone some minutes. But I mean, Brooke Lopez is their best player. I mean, him and Jeremy Lin are the only two guys who you think would be getting 35 plus minutes. even though Brooke Lopez does have the foot issues. But yeah, I mean, I'm concerned. I mean, I don't, you know, but then right after we did that podcast, Jeremy Lin played fantastic and I think played a lot of minutes. So, you know, I'm not sure what to make of Atkinson. I'm going to stay away, like in DFS, I'm staying away from a lot of the Brooklyn guys, especially in cash games. And for season long, dude, I'd be concerned. Would you
trade him for 90 cents on the dollar?
Yeah, I would.
80 cents on the dollar?
You know, I'd probably wait another week before I go down to that level. I mean, it's only been like what, two games, so I'd wait one more week, and I'd want to see Brooke play one more time probably before I make a decision on that. But I'd start thinking about it. Start thinking who you can get for Brooke Lopez. And the other guy from Brooklyn who has been just a trash can of hell is Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. He has been so bad, Mark.
It's true.
I don't know what to say. Like, Bogdanovich has been their only bright spot, and that's
true. Jeremy Lin's been very good.
Yeah, he's had really only one good game, though, so it probably skews the numbers. But yeah.
They've only played, like, you know.
Three, I think they played three. But yeah, Bogdanovich, you know, he's been shooting the ball. He's streaky, so I think he shot well two out of the three games. But RHJ, man, like, the minutes have been all over the place. He's, you know, and he's just been
averaging 3 points, four rebounds, and less than one steal and block combined.
Yeah, man, it's like watching a dead man on the court. He's doing nothing.
It's not become
like he's become like Courtney Lee. It's just like he's just there. And so
I expect him to get dropped a lot. Are you interested in picking him up at all,
dude? I don't know. Like I have him on one of my teams, and I haven't dropped him yet. But like that production is just so poor. And you know he's not going to really give you much offensive stats.
No, I mean, so, I think I projected him for less than 10 points a game with a high minute. So I think he's a situational pickup still. Like, I don't think that he's all of a sudden not good at the defensive stats. I think that's just, you know, those kind of are this just a small sample size, especially for steals and blocks. But I think he's probably just a situational pickup. Like, pick him up if you need a lot of steals and, you know, rebounds or maybe some blocks from your guard position, but he's not going to hit a lot of three pointers. He's not going to score a lot of points. He's not going to get a lot of assists. So I like him still. I think I don't mind picking him up, especially if somebody drops him in a deep league, because I do think his production will bounce back, but I am also worried about the minutes distribution on this Nets team. Looks like they're going to give minutes to everybody. Like you said, they've seemingly got everybody on some sort of minutes restriction, which is worrisome for players like Hollis Jefferson, who really, they need like 34, 36 minutes to accumulate enough stats to really like be valuable.
Yeah. I mean, he's like really their only like young guy that they should want to develop and see if he's, you know, try to see what kind of talent they can get out of him. And I'm surprised that they're not going to give him big minutes. And clearly, well, judging from everything I've read and seen, I'm, you know, watching the games, I mean, they don't appear to be headed that way, which sucks. I mean, I would probably pick up just some bums like Nick Young and Deion Waiters over him right now.
See, I kind of feel like if you played in the league where he was draftable, it's tough because as long as you had reasonable expectations, like as long as you weren't expecting to get 12 to 15 points a game, I think that you can still expect to get the, like, what we probably, I project him for like 8 or 9 points, 7 rebounds, 6, 7 rebounds, and to be very good in steals category. I think that's probably still attainable.
I'm going to send him like a seat warmer for the bench that he can sit on.
Here's another guy I'm worried about, Kat, or Dan.
Who's that?
Pau Gasol.
Yeah. He's
been not great so far.
Played well tonight, though.
He played so.
Spurs played Miami on Sunday night, and he had 20 points and 11 rebounds. Now there was no LaMarcus Aldridge.
Two blocks.
And he did really well. And now LaMarcus Aldridge wasn't playing. I think like he has some knee soreness, so that doesn't sound good. Although that could just be Pop, you know, Pop just talking nonsense. But so yeah, today was the first day he looked anything like himself. The first game against Golden State, he looked like he was 95 years old, didn't belong in an NBA game.
He had 2 points.
Yeah.
Next game, he had 7 points. And then versus New Orleans, he had 9 points. So that means in three games, he had 18 points. And then tonight against Miami, he had 20 points. So he had more points tonight than he did in his previous three games.
Yeah.
You can almost say the same thing about his rebounds. We're just barely over the 11 rebounds that he had tonight. And then he had two blocks tonight, and he's had one prior in the entire rest of the three games. So
yeah, he's a guy I would try to trade like immediately, like right now after his one good game he had against Miami, because it's troubling. You know, the key stat for me is in those first three games, he was averaging 21.5 minutes.
Exactly.
So he played, you know, 31 minutes tonight. That's much better. But
game one, he played 18 minutes. Game two, he played 20 minutes. Game three, he played 22 minutes. So
yeah. So I mean, tonight it was a close game with Miami too. And I mean, no Aldridge, and he still only got 31 minutes. So like, I would take that. You know, after watching the week of Spurs, I would say his max is, you know, 31 minutes, and that's so like, but more likely it's going to probably be that 25 around 24, 25 minutes, and that's not a lot of minutes.
That's not great.
No, so I am concerned about him.
Yep. I do think that his production will sort of level off as far as he will have similar production per minute of play that he's had in the past. But if he's only going to get 25 minutes per game instead of instead of like the 28, 30, 32 range of minutes we expected, you know, his numbers are going to be like 11 points, 7 rebounds, and a block.
Mark, and not only that. So, look, it's game. It's the first week, and Pop's already resting people too. He's already rested Parker, right. Ginobili, Aldridge. You know, so certainly he's going to start resting Powell.
Absolutely.
So there's going to be random DNPs as well. So it's going to be, if you're a Pau Gasol owner, it could be a rough year for you, unless you're just you could kind of have that you lower your expectations.
Yeah, probably a good move to do right now. So. Yeah. So Towns, not worried about. Kyle Lowry, yeah. You're not worried about. Pau Gasol, you're worried about. Brook Lopez, you're worried about.
Yeah.
Good summary. All right, let's start talking about some guys that have exceeded expectations so far. And this is probably the guy who has exceeded my expectations more than anybody else. He's currently on a per-game basis ranked in the top 10 fantasy-wise. Let me read you his stat line and see if you can guess who it is, Daniel.
Okay.
31 minutes per game in three games. He's averaging 21 points, 10.3 rebounds, and 3.3 blocks on 62% shooting and 77% from the free throw line. I think the 3.3 blocks probably should be the biggest clue.
Is that Whiteside?
It's not Whiteside. It is Miles Turner.
Oh, yeah. I should have got that. He's been a beast, just fantastic.
He's been an absolute beast.
Yeah, and he's been a DFS just tear.
And what's amazing to me, and I know it's only three games in, he had four blocks in his first game, then he had three blocks, and then he had three blocks. So he has had 11 blocks in three games. And he scored double digits in each of the three games. Although it's sort of surprising against Chicago. He only played 22 minutes.
Well, yeah, but that's because Chicago beat him by 30. So, I mean, that game was over, like, you know, the middle of the third quarter.
Yeah, but it's not like Miles Turner's old man. Like, you can keep him in and let him play.
Nah, yeah, they pulled all their starters after three quarters.
So probably, yeah, but no, nothing to be worried about.
No, not at all. I mean, he was – like, Indiana, is, I mean, you were talking pre-show. I can't figure them out watching them play. Like, Jeff Teague, you know, had a good first game, but then looked just dreadful. Monte Ellis looks like he's aging like the reverse Benjamin Button. Thaddeus Young, I really like. He's played well. I mean, Paul George is the top 15 player, and Miles Turner is, I mean, man, he's got so much talent and upside. So,
he
like,
seems,
that starting
five. He seems like a totally different player this
year.
Yeah,
I mean,
his production seems real.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, he can do everything. He can shoot. Like, you know, rebounds, like you mentioned the blocks. I mean, he does everything on the court. Like, man, like, and I can't believe how big he is just physically. It's a big boy. So, yeah, I'm super high on him. I think he's going to have a monster year.
Yeah, I agree.
But Indiana, I do not think that team confuses me. So
they might not be good. Like, I, you know,
but like, look at that starting five I just mentioned. Those are like five professional like really good players.
So wait, so I'm not sure Jeff Teague's that good anymore. I think Atlanta gave up on him at the right time.
He's still like a good, you know, above average point guard, right?
He's not in the top 15 point guards. I was just going to say that. You think so?
I would put him right around there. I mean,
yeah, that's probably like we could probably name 15 guys, and by the time you get to 15, you're kind of arguing
if Jeff probably in that 12. He's got to be in that 12 to 15 range.
I would be a little surprised by that. Let me see if I can pull up. So who else? Monte Ellis. I'm not sure is good.
Well, he's just like it's tough for him right now because like there's only one ball, and like Paul George, you know, he wants to shoot a ton. Jeff Teague is actually. You know, he's not the best passer in the world, quite honestly. He's kind of a scoring – he likes to shoot the ball and likes to dribble a lot. So, you know, they got Teague, they got Paul George. Thaddeus Young, you know, can do some things. So, Monte Ellis, I'm not sure how – like, if there's one guy from Indiana that they probably want to move, it's probably him. Like Indiana needs another shooter, not another like, ball hog like Monte Ellis. They're actually better when C.J. Miles in the game, quite honestly.
And I actually don't think they're that good of a pair. And I'm not sure, like – again, Thaddeus Young, he's probably not above average.
Oh, watch your mouth.
Really?
You don't think so?
No.
But he's so good, Thaddeus Young.
What's he good at?
He doesn't do like one thing in particular, but he's just across the board, puts up really nice stats.
Well, no, for fantasy, I draft him in almost every one of my leagues because he's usually near the top five in steals per game.
Yeah, he's great.
But as far as like a productive player, like that helps his team win, I'm not sure.
I mean, I think he's just a really solid, like good piece for a team. Yeah. I mean, I think he is, but you know, granted if Indiana keeps playing like it did against Chicago, maybe I could be wrong.
I'm trying to decide whether I want to try to give you 15 point guards that are better than Jeff Teague or not. Probably not worth our time, right?
Dude, let's do it quickly.
Chris Paul, Steph Curry, Russell Westbrook, Kyle Lowry, Ricky Rubio, Mike Conley, John Wall, Kemba Walker, Goran Dragic, Eric Bledsoe, Damian Lillard, Kyrie Irving, Darren Williams?
No way. Schroeder? 79-year-old Darren Williams.
Right, I'm taking Darren Williams. Off. Schroeder, George Hill.
I don't know if Schroeder will be ahead of him either, man.
All right,
and Rubio is a question mark as well.
No, Rubio. Yeah. There's no way Minnesota would trade Rubio for Schroeder. I mean, for Teague.
For Teague? I wouldn't be surprised, man. What does Rubio do well? Can't shoot, can't defend.
He's got to be what the top two or three passers in the league, and he's right, a very good defender.
You think he's a good defender?
Absolutely, a very good
defender. He gets steals, but I mean, like, I don't, in terms of actual
defense. He's a very strong defender. Like, all the metrics sort of bear that out.
Yeah, okay. All right, so how many point guards does that?
I'm at 14, I'm at 15. I think, would you put Reggie Jackson above him? Rondo?
Wow, so yeah, maybe. Yeah, so I guess he's not Tony Parker anymore. No, so I'd put a healthy Reggie Jackson's probably a little bit. Yeah. Actually, no, that, I mean, they're clear close.
I think he's probably about average.
Yeah, wow, there's a lot of good point guards.
Good point guards, absolutely. All right. Speaking of a guy I almost mentioned, but who's not really a point guard, Avery Bradley. He's had a very good three games so far this season.
Yeah.
21 points, 4 3-pointers per game, almost 9 rebounds, almost 5 assists, shooting 52% from the field. A lot of those things didn't seem sustainable. Anything in particular in that stat line that you don't believe in? It's got to be the three-pointers. He had 8 three-pointers against Charlotte.
But I'll say this. Like, man, he's probably – I had so many people calling for like a – granted, it happened after he hit those eight three-pointers. Yeah. Calling for an Avery Bradley breakout season.
It may be.
I mean, like, you know – so now I think I was mentioning this is my, I might have mentioned this on a previous pod we had this week too. He's always a guy for DFS that like I couldn't figure out. I mean, obviously he's always a solid defender.
Right.
So Stevens loves him and he gets a lot of minutes for that Boston backcourt and that Boston team. But in terms of like finding which night he's going to explode offensively, you know, like last year, last 2 years has been really hard, but maybe this year he does become consistent, and he kind of be, you know, busts out a little bit.
So he averaged 2 3-pointers per game last season, which I think seems pretty reasonable. I think all we're seeing is that he had one really good game, and he'll continue to have those.
What was his field goal percentage though last year?
Last year he shot 45%. So he probably won't continue to shoot 52%. Here's, I think, the crux of if he's going to take a step forward or not, is he's averaging almost 5 assists per game. Last year he averaged 2.1. The season before he averaged 1.5. Season before he averaged 2.1. So if he took a serious jump up in ball handling duties, maybe because Evan Turner's not there, he becomes a pretty valuable player, even if he just gets 5 assists per game and has the exact same stat line otherwise as he did last season. Because he hits a lot of 3-pointers, shoots a solid percentage from the field. He gets some good steals. So like I said, if he goes from 2 assists to 4 or 5 assists, I think that's going to help his value a lot. I just don't know if I would bank on that. I think the only real reason you could say is, again, you know, Evan Turner's no longer there. Maybe he handles the ball a little bit more.
Yeah. You know, it's the loss of Evan Turner is an interesting point. Maybe he'll get to handle the ball more now. Cause I mean, the one thing, you know, normally when he plays with Isaiah is such a ball dominant guy, yeah. You know, but, you know, Stevens loves him. He's locked into 35 plus minutes a night. And by the way, I need to go on a Stevens rant right after I talk about Bradley, but you know, so I'm not positive those assists are going to come up, but I do think he's going to put up a better numbers than he did last year. And he has the potential. He's got the upside that I never envisioned. Like I never was a huge fan. I always thought he's going to be just like a bulldog, very nasty defender. And offensively, if you get anything like that, that's a good, you know, that's a bonus, but maybe I was just wrong on the guy. Cause he's come out of the gate blazing. So, he could be in for a really nice year. Now, speaking of Brad,
let's hear what you have to say about Brad Stevens.
Yeah. This is what I have to say, Mark. Now, last year they had Fat Gravy Juice, Jared Sullinger at center.
Mm-hmm.
And Stevens would jerk him around. And they had, you know, Kelly. Do they still have Kelly Olynyk? I don't even know.
Yeah, they still have Olynyk. Although, has he played yet? I'm trying to remember if he's played.
I don't think he's injured still, right? Yeah, I think he is. Yes, I think so. So, and they had Brandon Bass. They had like 14 other guys that they would just wiggle and jiggle, you know, from their front court. It was so bad. Now they have.
What does it mean to wiggle and jiggle a player?
You know, like Jared Sullinger, he's so fat that his body just wiggles and jiggles, like when he's running down the court.
Sure.
So, like this year,
the foot injury for him has got to be the worst person to have a foot injury, right? There's going to be no extra, like.
Well, it's not surprising he got a foot injury, right?
But also, like, he's not going to be able to stay in shape. Like, he's going to be doing no exercising for 3 months. That's
yeah. They need to put him in like a box or like tie up his hand so he can't grab food or something.
All right. Continue.
Yeah, no. So, but now Boston has a really nice center, like a guy who should be putting up, who should be playing big minutes and putting up really nice stats, and that's Al Horford. And the first, like, I don't even know if he's topped 30 minutes in the first three games.
So he's actually he played 27 minutes in the first game, which is I think probably what you're referring to. And then he played 30, and then 31.
Yeah. So like, I need more minutes than that, Brad Stevens. Like, what are you doing? Like, he's not Jared Sullinger. Like, I'm not sure why he's limiting Al Horford's minutes so much. Like, I want 34, 35 minutes from Al Horford. Thank you very much. Like, I played Horford in DFS a lot. His price in DFS is really low. It's like 6.9K right now. It's basically the same as Miles Turner. And Miles Turner has been destroying him in production. But, yeah, I thought I think Horford's just a really good fit for that system. You know, he does a lot of things well in the court. And he just, the minutes have surprised me. I'm a little perplexed as to why those minutes haven't been a little bit higher.
Yeah. He played 37 minutes per game in 2012, 2013.
Horford did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But his last season in Atlanta, he played 32 minutes per game.
Yeah,
so
that's because they, you know, Bud is basically a pop disciple. So, yeah, I mean, he's never going to play anyone big minutes in Atlanta.
And Brad Stevens may be that way as well. That might just
be. Look at Avery Bradley's, you know, minutes and stuff. That guy's 35, yeah. Right? He's got to be getting 35 plus.
I think he's close to that. I guess you can make a case that guards can handle a different amount of night to night wear than the big guys.
Maybe. But
all right.
Who else you got?
You know what? So I'm more than anything, just want to ask you about this guy. Cause he's had a couple good games. We've certainly seen him have good games before. I'm not sure I believe it yet, but Markieff Morris, first game, he played 28 minutes against Atlanta. He had 22 points, 2 3-pointers, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 1 block. Then in the next game against Memphis, he played 35 minutes. He had 11 points, 7 rebounds, 2 steals, and 1 block. He actually rates out pretty high as if you did rankings in just the season so far. But a lot of that is that those defensive numbers, 2 steals and 1 block per game. He's actually available in a lot of waiver wires. Would you be interested in picking up Markieff Morris?
Yeah, man. I remember talking about him with you last year on the pod, and I kept waiting for him. I think he's a good player. I kept waiting for him to like excel, maybe not excel, but just being a really good player for Washington, and it just never happened. Right. Like, he just didn't mesh with that unit the last 20 games or so ever since he was traded. So this year he's come out. Obviously looks like they tweaked the offense and Scotty Brooks, or I don't know if it was Scott Brooks, or maybe just meshes well with John Wall a little better now. But yeah, he's looked really good. He's looked comfortable in the offense. He's shooting the ball well. And yeah, I think he's a nice pickup. Yeah, the defensive stats, that will be interesting to see if he can keep that up.
I would guess that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I would guess that too. But like, you know, early in the season, the main stat I will look to is minutes. And he seems like he's locked into solid minutes. And that means he's probably a guy that should be owned, and especially in 12 team leagues, don't you think?
I agree. Yep. If he can behave himself and play a lot of minutes, he should be good. I mean, I think what you could probably expect from him is something like 15 points, 7 rebounds, over a 3-pointer, close to a steal, and like a half a block. And that's pretty valuable in a lot of leagues. All right, last guy, last but not least, in Phoenix, TJ Warren. 3 games, speaking of minutes, Daniel, he's played 38 minutes in the 3 games so far. One of those was an overtime game with Oklahoma City that helped him get 46 minutes. So those numbers are a little bit skewed. But he had 30 points in that game, and he followed it up with in a game Sunday night versus Golden State with 26 points. He's averaging a 3-pointer per game. He's gotten at least 5 rebounds and up to 9 in each game. He's getting a lot of steals. He's averaging 2 steals per game. What do you think about TJ Warren?
Yeah, he's probably been the biggest surprise for me in the first week of the season. He's been tremendous. I've watched almost every one of his games. Now, I mean,
Phoenix has had some pretty fun games so far.
Yeah, the stats may be inflated a little because, like you said, they played OKC and Golden State, two teams that push the pace so much that it's just offense.
Well, and that OKC game went into overtime.
Right. But I mean, like, you know, tonight against Golden State, I mean, man, like, you know, he took 21 shots, by far the most on the team, which I loved. He got 37 minutes, which I loved, you know, and obviously the production was there, 26 points and 6 rebounds. I think you read that off. So, you know, he just looks really comfortable, really confident, not hesitating at all. He looks like he has the green light to shoot whenever the heck he wants, which is fantastic. So I'm super high on him. I mean, he's probably not available in your leagues, but if he is, dear God, like, you know, pause the podcast and go pick him up, because like, he could be in for a big year. He's been so much better than Devin Booker the first week, which I think we all expected Devin Booker to have to be the one from Phoenix who's going to have a breakout year. But he's been like, he just looked, I mean, he, you know, compared to Devin Booker, he looks like he's, you know, Michael Jordan right now. I'm serious. Like, Devin Booker has not looked good. I mean, like, tonight was dreadful, 3 for 12 from the floor. And Devin Booker's doing nothing besides shooting. Like, he's not giving you any other stats at all. It's like, you know, if his shot isn't falling, he's it's just painful to have him on your team.
That's sort of what you expect from Booker, though, right? I mean,
I don't know. I expected him to do a little bit more than that. Didn't you know? Just like, shouldn't a rebound just fall in his hands just like accidentally? Sure. You know? Sure,
I wouldn't expect him to get more than 2 or 3 rebounds and assists per game. I think you're hoping for.
I guess. But I mean, it's hard. I mean, it's hard to own guys like that. I mean, obviously, I think Booker should be owned. Don't get me wrong. I think he's going to have a good year. But you know, when those one dimensional guys aren't, when their shots not falling, it's you just cringe because you know that it's nothing else is going to help you.
he's basically a two category guy, and those two categories are entirely dependent on each other. He hits three pointers and he puts up points, and he's good at both of them. But if his shot isn't falling, which it isn't right now, he's shooting 38% from the field and actually only shooting 50% from the free throw line. So that actually makes me a little bit worried that something's going on with his shot. I expect him to get it ironed out, but between now and the time that he gets everything figured out, he's going to continue to not put up a lot of value. He's actually ranked outside the top 250 players right now on a per game basis, because like you said, if he doesn't get points, if he doesn't get three pointers, he just doesn't offer a whole lot of other value.
Yeah. And I think the other thing with TJ Warren, I think it's going to knock some minutes off of Booker, because they still have Brandon Knight coming off the bench, and Brandon Knight is going to get at least 25 minutes, you know, a night. So, right. And if TJ Warren is playing so well, like, you know, and obviously Bledsoe is locked in to get 35 plus minutes, so one of those guys, you know, has to sit a little bit. So, I mean, Booker, I think, has got 28 minutes tonight. I mean, there could be a lot of nights where Booker's getting, you know, 28 minutes and the production isn't what you thought you were getting when you drafted him pretty high. But I, you know, again, it's early, and we'll see. I do think his shot's struggling right now. When his shot, you know, when he gets a little more confidence, he should be able to put up – he'll definitely have some nice nights. It's just a matter of how good of a season is he going to have.
Yeah, I expect him to bounce back.
Not to mention, can I just say – dear God, our friend Tyson Chandler, why can't he just go away? Like 28 minutes tonight. Alex Len only got 18 minutes. I mean, he actually looked good, Tyson Chandler, tonight. I was surprised. He was giving Golden State lots of trouble. And he actually gave – I forgot the last game Phoenix, who they played against. It might have been OKC. I think it was. He gave Steven Adams a lot of trouble too. So,
like, Tyson, so why do you want him to go away?
I want Phoenix to go young, like play Alex Len, you know, like they're not, like, why would you waste your time on, unless they're trying to, you know, try to get some leverage and trade him. But there's just no, you know, I'm not sure what they're getting by playing, you know, by not letting Len, you know, get big minutes.
I'm not sure Alex Len is the answer to many questions.
Well, let's find out. Yeah, but he had a really nice stretch last year. Remember? No pun intended. He was like the stretch four. They had like a Len Chandler. Len Chandler lineup, and this is the other part of that Phoenix. I think I tweeted out,
and somehow they still brought back the Earl Watson to coach the team after he tried that.
They did, but I think I tweeted out today. This is one of my favorite tweets. I tweeted, I don't want to live in a world where Jared Dudley is your starting point, is your starting power forward.
Are you reading your favorite tweets?
From my own. That's my own favorite tweet. That may be my favorite one that I ever tweeted out, because I forgot, like. Jared Dudley, he actually played decent today too, but he's starting for them at the power forward and played 27 minutes.
I just think it's hilarious that you're identifying which of your tweets are your favorite and sharing.
Well, I mean, a lot of my tweets aren't very good, but that was a pretty good. Don't you think that's a pretty good one? would you think that Jared Dudley would have been a starting power forward this year?
I mean, that's what they signed him for.
To start?
I think so. Yeah.
I thought they signed like to be like basically like another coach, because I thought he wants to coach when he's done.
They gave him like $10 million plus a season, didn't they?
Yeah, I don't remember how much he got, but I'm shocked that he's a starting power forward. That maybe because I think is PJ Tucker banged up a little bit still, maybe. Yeah. That's why he's starting, but yeah. Like watching Tyson Chandler and Jared Dudley get like 27, 28 minutes on a team that should be just rebuilding and playing all young guys is – frustrating.
Yeah, he signed a 3-year, $30 million contract with me.
That's ridiculous. You come on.
that's the truth.
The G, no wonder the GM kept Earl Watson. The GM must be an idiot then. Why would you sign Jared Dudley to that?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, in the new salary cap, like the way the salary cap works, that doesn't seem like a bad contract, but it does seem like a surprising contract for Phoenix.
Especially for 3 years.
You know, like if I don't know, like Cleveland would have got signed him for that contract. It would have been like, yeah, that's okay. That makes sense. But what's Phoenix going to do in the next 3 years that they need Jared Dudley?
Exactly.
I don't know. All right, Daniel, we got one more thing we want to get to tonight. And that is we want to talk a little. So again, we're mostly focused on daily or on a season long tonight, but we also want to talk about our good friends at No Halftime. So as I explained briefly in the opening segment, No Halftime is one of our favorite apps. they sponsor our show, and so we're very grateful to them for that. But it's actually a pretty cool way to play DFS. If you don't like to worry about the lineups and trying to get eight people under the salary cap, no halftime is a great alternative, because all you have to do is pick one player that you want to play, and you have to either find one of your buddies to pick a player they want to play, and you can go head to head. So just one player versus one player, or you can put out a general challenge and see who else on the app would pick up that challenge. And you can have a lot of fun that way, and you can win real money. And for me, it just simplifies everything. There's a lot of nights that I don't play DFS, not because I don't think it would be fun, but because it's just a lot of work. You have to do a lot of thinking. You have to spend a lot of time. And to be able to play just one player, you can still have some of the fun that you would have in a DFS matchup, but it simplifies it. So, again, if you don't have the app, go download it. It's on the iTunes store. It's on the Amazon store. You just go to No Halftime, download it, and put in the promo code BBALL. That's BBALL 100. And you will get a $100 sign deposit bonus. So, Daniel, let's give our listeners some advice, maybe from some of the people we've talked about so far. Who do you think that we could get in a good matchup? Maybe that our listeners could put out on the No Halftime app. Like,
I think let's do the guys you mentioned on the show. One guy, let's take advantage of Miles Turner right now. Let's do a Miles Turner Brook Lopez matchup. People would fall for that.
Or Pau Gasol, for that matter. Right?
Yeah, I would do Pau too, but if you get away with Brook Lopez, try that one first.
Oh, you actually think Brook Lopez? So if you did Pau Gasol versus Brook Lopez, you would take Pau?
I don't want you. I want Miles Turner over both those guys.
No, but I'm saying of the two, like, which one do you think would be worse?
Oh, that's so tough, man. I mean, wow. It depends who's playing for San Antonio, and
that's a little Russian roulette, really.
Yeah, that's wild. I mean, that is really risky. Both those guys. It's like,
yeah, maybe you and I will have to do that challenge.
I would have to know if San Antonio's on like a second night of a back to back, fourth and five games. I mean, like, so much when you're playing any Spurs guy, so much goes into it. And maybe Kenny has
Lopez is about the same. He's rested one game. He's played 20 minutes per game.
Maybe Kenny Atkinson wants to be Popovich. Maybe that's why he's doing this to us already. Yeah, I mean, and Brook Lopez right now. I mean, I guess I'd go Pau Gasol, just because right now with Brook Lopez, God only knows what's going on with his feet and stuff.
I would take Brook Lopez for $5. We'll have to do that one and see.
I'm rethinking that already. I don't want Pau Gasol. I want no part of.
Pau Gasol. I think it's a total toss up who's going to sit out, and
I think the audience should just get away from this and do Miles Turner against either Pau Gasol or either one. Or Brook Lopez. And take advantage.
I feel pretty confident if you could get either of those guys. And I think you probably could.
I think so too, absolutely.
What about TJ Warren? I wonder who you could get him in a matchup against. I don't think I would take him against Lowry.
No way. I would do that one with you. I'll take Lowry.
That one would be scary.
Yeah.
I mean, so far, you would have won every single matchup.
I mean, I would say you could do like a TJ Warren, Monte Ellis.
I mean, I would take that every day. Jeff Teague, maybe.
That's still even a little risky.
I would take Warren against him.
I mean, you could do TJ Warren versus – a lot of people don't know TJ Warren yet. So you could do, you know, TJ Warren versus
– Rondae Hollis-Jefferson.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Just kidding. Just attack the heck out of him. Or TJ Warren versus – let's see, someone –
Who wouldn't you take against Rondae Hollis-Jefferson? No, that's the real question.
Anyone with a pulse, I would take I would say almost like any, would you take any starter in the NBA? Would you take RHJ over any other starter in the NBA?
I can't think of one.
We should do this one. Tony Snell versus Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. Cause I think Tony Snell has been starting the last couple of days for Milwaukee. So would you want Tony Snell or Hollis-Jefferson?
Oh my goodness.
I'll go Hollis-Jefferson there. That may be the one guy in the world that could actually defeat.
I feel like you're basically rooting for 2 3-pointers there from Tony
Snell. You are. That's it. Yeah. But both those guys, it's like, you know, the end of the game, you look like, you're like, man, why didn't Tony Snell play? You look at the box score, 28 minutes and zeros across the board.
What about Solomon Hill?
Another guy like Lance Thomas, all those guys are like the same player. They just do nothing. They get lots of minutes and that's it. They just no production.
All right. Well, hopefully that gives you a little flavor of the fun that you can have with no halftime. You can play like the superstars versus each other. You could play the Solomon Hills versus the Tony Snells or anything in between. It's a fun way to play DFS with your friends in a less time consuming way, I would say.
And I would say Westbrook over anybody. I would say Westbrook, you could play, there should be a rule in no halftime where you can take like two players against like just Westbrook. Like you shouldn't be allowed to just play Westbrook. It's got to be, you know, like it's like one-on-one matchup versus Westbrook. And you, like it should only be, you have to play two guys against him.
I'd have to look at the matchups, but I would like to take, I would like to give you Westbrook and I would like to take Harden for his next matchup.
Dude, it's funny in DFS, like, I thought for sure, like, you know, especially because even in season long, everyone was saying, towards the end especially, most experts were saying Harden should be the number one pick over Westbrook.
I still agree.
You do? Yes. I mean, like.
I do.
Like you know why I don't at the end of the day?
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear.
Because Westbrook is an alien. He's not human. And, like, Harden is, like, he mopes. He, like, he'll have games he takes off. Like, he's lazy. And, like, Westbrook is just the polar opposite of all those things.
That's so, true.
Like, even though you think in a D'Antoni system, like, Harden.
None of those things are fantasy stats, though.
Well, they do, like, you know, play a role in how you play in real life, and which goes and gets you stats in fantasy. And, like, I mean, Harden just, the game, you know, some games just doesn't have it. And he does. He mopes around the court, and if he's not getting calls especially. Like Harden just plays so hard. Like if I had to bet my life on a game, I want Harden 7 days out of the week.
You mean Westbrook? You want Westbrook 7 days?
Out of the week, yeah, right? I don't know why I said Harden there. Yeah, I want Westbrook. I mean, I'm just probably thinking Harden because Harden cost me so much money tonight. But yeah, I mean,
I might take Anthony Davis over Harden or over Westbrook at this point.
Dude, have you come on? I mean, like Anthony Davis.
I'm saying in a no halftime challenge.
Oh, no halftime.
Right now.
He's looked phenomenal, but no one's. But this is the thing with Westbrook, right? And I think me and you were talking about this just via Twitter a couple days ago. Like Westbrook hasn't even played well yet,
it makes me sad when he comes down. What game was it? Was it the Suns game? He would just come down every time and take a pull-up jumper.
It was 1-on-5. Yeah,
he wasn't shooting three-pointers. He wasn't, like, driving to the basket. It was just, like, pull-up jumper after pull-up jumper. It just made me sad to watch.
I don't know if you saw this. Like, his usage rate for that game, did you see it?
What did it say? Like, Wilt Chamberlain?
No, so just – all right, I have two stats. One is usage rate for that game, and then I have his usage rate for the second half. Guess both numbers.
So I'm saying instead of numbers, I'll bet it just got – it just, like, tallied up, like, on cartoons until it just said same as Wilt Chamberlain's. I mean, 60%.
Yes, the second half was 58%.
Oh my goodness!
And for the entire game, it was 48%.
That's preposterous. And he shot 38% in that game.
Yeah, it was ugh. Like he played. He was just out of control, a crazy man. But the numbers for fantasy were just phenomenal. Like his field goal percentage wasn't great, but I mean, tonight his line was much better, and the assists were phenomenal tonight.
The other thing that bothered me about Westbrook, and this is a non-fantasy thing, but the first game against the Sixers,
yeah,
he was up two and had the ball, and he could have just held it, right, to get the free throws,
yeah,
and he went for the triple double assist.
Damn straight he did. Like, that's what I mean. That's what you want in fantasy.
He put the game at risk to get a triple double. Like
that's what you want in fantasy.
Yeah, it's probably true.
Like he cares. He cares about all that stuff. Like Harden's thinking about a Kardashian. Like I mean, Westbrook. It's just like I want Westbrook. Like he's crazy. But like it will be interesting to see. Like, what do you think the record's going to be? Because they're not very good.
OKC.
Yeah.
I mean, if Westbrook. So, I actually was very heartened by what Westbrook did on Sunday night. He had 16 assists. He only shot 21 times, which is an only for him. Like, I think he realized he can't do the thing where he shoots 44 times a night, every night.
Right.
And I think he tried to get his players involved, because I think if he was shooting that much every game, like by game 30 or 40 in the season, I don't think Steven Adams is diving after balls like he does.
Yeah, and Steven Adams played great tonight on Sunday night.
I think you got to throw that guy a bone every once in a while. And he was making a concerted effort to get Victor Oladipo involved. And so if he does things like that, I could see him winning 48 to 50 games. If he goes on the like Kobe Bryant shooting spree, I wouldn't be surprised if they're under 500. So I think it just kind of depends on what type of dominant Russell Westbrook wants to be. If he wants to be like ball hog dominant, I wouldn't be surprised if they end up with a 500 record.
Yeah, I mean, the one I'll say this, after watching their first, and it's you know obviously everyone knows it's early, but I'm happy that I didn't draft Oladipo in any leagues. Yeah. Like I just it's hard to envision, you know. I could see some games where he just doesn't. Entire games go by where he doesn't touch the ball. But yeah, I mean that they're fascinating to watch, just because it's just like you can tell Billy Donovan has no control over what goes on in that game. You know, like if Westbrook, whatever he wants to do, which has to suck as a coach, it must be frustrating.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Anyway,
all right, Dan, that wraps up our week 2 fantasy preview. Hopefully, you guys had some fun. I know I did. Good luck in week 2. Hopefully you win all your matchups, and I will talk to you again next week as we preview week 3. Dan, I'm sure we'll talk to you again sooner than that. And as always, if you have questions for either of us, you can find me at Mark F. Roberts. That's Mark with a C on Twitter. Dan, what's your Twitter handle?
Mine is at Daniel A. Green 1, green like the color. And also I'll just say, so every day I run these daily DFS tournaments on FanDuel.
Yeah,
it's like 20
people. That's really nice of you, by the way.
Thank you. So it's like usually 20 people in the league, but they fill up fast, so I'm probably going to start running 2 to 3 tournaments like I did last year, so it's 40-60 people can get in. So if you want in, send me a tweet. I usually tweet out the link, and I try to
is that kind of the same guys every night, like you guys kind of
but if people keep trying to get in and they haven't been able to, if you tweet me and say, hey, I've been trying but haven't been able to get in, I'll make sure you get in. I'll send you the link like privately before I open it to the public, to make sure you get in. So, but yeah, I mean, it's a lot of the same players and it's a lot of people who are really good. So if you're a beginner, well, it's only $2. So it's not going to, break your bank, but just be forewarned. Yeah. It's a lot of guys who really know what they're doing in DFS. But I'll say this. One good thing about that is if you're trying to learn, you go in there and look at like usually the teams that win, look at their lineups. It's a good way just to learn about roster construction.
Yeah.
So.
Very cool. Yeah. And then if you beat Daniel, you can
talk
get on Twitter and then
talk to me. Yeah.
Tell him how much better you are than him.
Right. Absolutely.
And then once again, just to mention the links we used today. So hashtag basketball, their schedule analyzer. And we also cited many of the stats I cited were from Basketball Monster today. So thanks to those guys for their great tools. Go check those out. And once again, I'll talk to you all next week. Have some fun. Good luck in your week ahead.
Later, guys.